Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Thank you so much for listening. Now, remember I told you that we are going to be having a night prayer, which is going to be extremely, which is going to be very important, because we feel the Lord is leading us in this direction, in which our partners and the people of this ministry and all the listeners who can join us someplace, in one place where we sit down and pray, and perhaps pray for each other, and because we want to start seeing a difference in the lives of people. We don't just want this to be a place where you come and listen and listen and listen, because some people have been calling the ministry line and asking for prayer, and sometimes they manage to get me and I pray for them, and we've had situations overturned here and there and things like those. Others have done it through email, but now we want to collect in one place so that we can, in a way, make sure that, you know, we are each other's keeper in one way or the other, so that if there are people who are praying for jobs, if there are people who are praying for this, we can both pray for them and make sure we hear the testimony when the job comes, that I got the job, so that we know that God is doing something. We have to know for sure, because I do not believe in just a God that we talk about. You know, he's supposed to be a God that we see in our lives, that is in manifest, that is in manifestation in every area of our lives in a positive way, where somebody knows that since so and so got saved, everything is different. He has favor, he has this and that. Now I'm going to teach you a bit of a continuation of that on why struggle. So I'll tell you the exact date of when that overnight prayer will start, and the venue, as we are planning that. And also, I want to inform you that all our partners, we have a Thanksgiving like get together this Friday evening, the day after tomorrow evening, and it's going to be at a place called Amazing Gardens on Bombo Road. Find out where that place is and make sure you're there in the evening, starting 6. It's going to be there this evening, this Friday evening, the day after tomorrow, starting at 6. Be there. Let's talk about the conference and about everything else that the Lord is putting on our hearts to do in the ministry. And I'll be glad to see all our partners there. And don't forget the night prayer. Don't forget to prepare yourself for it. And you can also start sowing towards the night prayer. Actually, I suggest you start sowing towards the night prayer and giving your seed, and name it night prayer, and send it to the number that you know, the ministry number, 0780 292 555. I'll say it again, 0780 292 555. Now I thank you so much, because people have already started sowing, by the way, in this past people are already sowing towards it. And you are gracious people, and you really believe in what we are doing here, and you have connected with us, and I'm sure many people are witnessing a blessing, an increase. Now, I'll move on to the next thing. We still are talking about why the struggle. Now, today I'm going to talk about something different, which is atmosphere of miracles. But just a recap of what we talked about last week. Number one, many people are in life of struggle because they have an unteachable spirit, which is also a spirit that denies that they are in a struggle. There are people who are struggling, but they will not even accept that they are struggling, because they want to create a picture that they are okay. Now, if you are the kind of person who believes in putting up appearances, then enjoy your appearances. But if you are somebody who wants to see something real and tangible, and not just to impress people that things are okay, yet they actually aren't, but you want them to be okay, then you must be, if you didn't listen to last week's message, you should get it and listen to it. Number one, that unteachable spirit. Number two, something we spoke about last year, sowing in the right ground and for the right motive and things like farmer. Number three, your association, the things that you believe in, the people that you associate with are going to determine what you believe and what you dream. And the things that you believe in and the things that you dream are going to determine your life. That is very scripture. Okay, and I told you that in my experience, whenever I changed someone's environment, their lives changed automatically. And when people refused to change their environment and they wanted their lives to change, their lives didn't change. And by environment, I mean the people you hang with, the people you listen to, the church you attend, okay, which determines a lot in what you believe. The most powerful place is the pulpit, by the way. If what you're getting from the pulpit is not sound scripture doctrine, then you are in serious trouble, because it somehow gets into your mind. Now, I got to a point at some stage in my life where when somebody starts teaching things on the pulpit which are not biblical and which are not sound doctrine, I stand up and walk out, and I would go and sit in my car and listen to some gospel music if I had to attend the church until he finishes, because I can't stand certain things. There are certain things I can't stand, because you listen to them, they change your way of thinking, and yet they are wrong. Okay. Now people believe money is their problem, and they think God is telling them to do something, but they can't do it because of money. That means they have made money their God. God is saying this, money is saying this. I'm sorry, I have to go with what money says. That means money has become your God. Okay. People who believe that God judges them or receives them on the basis of what they do. Remember, I told you that according to Colossians 1:12, you're already qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember, I told you when you associate with small timers, they will teach you how to dream small. Do not be fooled. Bad company corrupts good habits, the Bible says. So, if you are the kind of person who is associating with small-time dreamers, who think there's a lot of small-time dreaming in the church, which is unbelievable. Somebody comes and makes it look like if you build a house and drive a car, you've attained to the maximum success. You've attained, and ungodly people are dreaming of big things, are dreaming of building housing estates and what, and godly people are dreaming, once I build a stanzimba ya kayumba and nimpona rent, and then this, then I'm okay, then maybe I get a car, and it's so amazing. How can you be a child of God and your dreams are that small? I mean, really, when your father is the God who made the heaven and earth, how can you dream that small? But if you stay with small time dreamers, then you'll eventually start behaving like them. So, and remember, I told you that if there's any struggle in your life, it shows that there's something wrong that you believed in that area in which the struggle is manifesting. Okay? It might be in the area of curses. You believe you're cursed, and then it is going to be a manifestation, not because the doctrine is true, because the doctrine of curses is wrong in the New Testament, but because you believed it. What is true is what you believe is what you see. Okay? What you believe is what you manifest. Now, if you believed in all these demons and demonology, and every night you're fighting demons, you're dreaming when demons are chasing you, you dream when some demon is chasing you, even somebody is chasing you, then you jump and jump up and jump over streams, then you come and say, I thank the Lord. Because yesterday the devil chased me, but I outran him. What is the devil doing chasing you? He's supposed to be running away from you, because you have the power of Jesus Christ inside you. By the time the devil chases you, it means there's something totally wrong with what you believe. So, but if you believe those things, then they will manifest in your life. Now, today, I'm talking about the atmosphere for miracles. So what's the atmosphere that gives birth to miracles? Every time there is a miracle in your life, something that came unexpectedly, that is good and that transforms your life, there is always an atmosphere that surrounds it, and that comes, precedes it, and creates things to start happening in a certain direction, or rather comes first of all in the form of an overflow of emotion and an overflow of faith. Really, that's what is faith. Overflow. You kind of expect something good is going to happen. Now, let me give you the gist of it. And I told you this. I've told you that I learned this actually from a friend of mine called Prophet Elvis Mbonye, and because he has a lot more insight into spiritual things and more or less every other thing spiritual than I do. So I learned this from him. And now, just know this: that so you're seated there one day, and suddenly you feel this overwhelming emotion of disappointment or despondency or discouragement. So suddenly you sit there and you think, oh, now what if this, I mean, now everything is not working out and my life is going down, nothing I do works out. The other day I tried this, it didn't work out. The other day I tried this, it didn't work out. And this one also didn't work out. So now what is working out? What's wrong with my life? And then all these emotions kind of grip you, and you get into that whole thing, and then you become so discouraged, and it goes into you. Now, I was wondering, how come there? It almost like happens like that, and until he told me that actually, if you were to look in the spiritual realm, that there is a spirit that is that has come and stood near you, a demonic spirit that is the one which is exuding those emotions into you. You understand? If I put on a certain perfume or a certain cologne, and I smell in a certain way, now if I come and stand next to you and you know that this is how this person smells all the time, then you will know that this is, even without seeing, you will start smelling me and sensing me from the way I smell. Now we are dealing now with the five senses, but now let's move that to the spiritual. Now if this demon that exudes discouragement, because discouragement is not of God, now if this demon that exudes discouragement, or the demon of discouragement, so to speak, a demon which has that name, comes and manifests or stands next to you, you will sense it in the form of feeling an overwhelming sense of discouragement or despondency or disappointment. And then if you don't know that this is just a demonic spirit trying to put all these things on you and make you bring you into this position where you think nothing about God works, how do you think people end up going, who started with God, end up going into some of them even into witchcraft, and into some of them leave God and go into demonic things, and some of them into witchcraft? And I know, and there are people like that. How do you think they start? Because this demon comes and stands next to you, and then you start feeling, but God's things don't work. But they do work. Now they are working for somebody else, but for you, you surround yourself with this feeling, now it's not going to work. The other day I tried this, it didn't work. This didn't work. This didn't work. So anyway, nothing is working. Then you receive that emotion. Then you receive the emotion. Then now, the demon, by just standing next to you, it has passed on its vibes, or its, spiritually speaking, so its cologne, so to speak. So now you've received that vibe from the spiritual realm, and now you wake up in the morning and you're so discouraged. Then you go to bed, you're discouraged. Even when you pray, you're praying, but God, what is wrong? What did I do? What wrong did I do to you? And how come nothing is working? But you're actually praying the prayers which the demon passed on to you. How come this is not working? How come what? I've tried this, it's also not working. The other day I tried. And so you start praying those prayers, and those are prayers which are not going to produce anything, because they are prayers of discouragement. Now, or prayers of fear. Suddenly you're there, then you fear, so then you get this overwhelming sense of something bad is going to happen to my child. Now all parents, most parents have those anxieties. So you get this overwhelming fear that what if something bad happened to my child? So you get into a panicking mood. But then you don't know that's a demon that has just come and told you something bad. So now if you knew what was happening in the demon, in the spiritual world, you'd just say, you demon of fear, I bind you in Jesus' name, I command you to leave. And suddenly the demon will leave, and all the feeling of fear will evaporate, and suddenly you know that your children are well and nothing is going to happen to them, or you're well and nothing is going to happen to you, or you get this overwhelming fear of what if this doesn't work out. And now the other side, they told me they are going to sign my contract tomorrow, and then I will start supplying the things tomorrow, and then you've already calculated the profit. Then when you're there, suddenly an overwhelming sense of fear, but what if the man does not sign it as he said he would sign it? What if this does not happen? And the moment, and that is the devil just surrounding him, I mean the Samchi demon surrounding you, which wants you to think that way. And the moment you think that way, then you start tearing it down, then you get into fear, and fear is manifests that which you fear. Okay, so if you get into a position where you fear something bad is going to happen, that bad thing is going to happen. Now you can decide to not receive that feeling of discouragement. Then you hear people saying, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. No, you just received what a demon told you. So as much as today, somebody came and I was driving on my way to the station. Actually, last week I was driving on my way to the station, and this station here, to come and do this show, and then somebody comes and drives in a very not so wise way, and so I find myself getting aggravated, and I hoot, I do all the things that other people do. Then I remind myself, calm down, I'm not receiving the vibes of the world around me. Me, I'm a happy fellow. So I say, yeah, me, I'm happy. I rejoice. And this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So I changed the atmosphere. But I can decide to receive that. But now that's something happening on the outward. But usually it's spiritual. So you hear people saying, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, but today I'm irritable, today I'm what? And you're just receiving what some chi demon is telling you. And now, here is what happens. So the demon comes and plants new fear, and then you start fearing that something bad is going to happen. Then you receive that fear. Then you actualize it. Then you build it, and then eventually that bad thing happens to you. I'll give you an example. You've been driving. Okay, you've been riding on a boda-boda every day. You don't have a car. You ride a boda-boda every day. And God has protected you up to now. You've never even had an accident. You never even scratched your knee. Then suddenly you're seated there. Then you feel this overwhelming fear. But what if my boda-boda crashed into a truck and my head got crushed on it? You know, all sorts of things. Eh? Now, you've been riding a boda-boda for so many years. Nothing has happened. But if you receive that, then you receive it, that, hey, by the way, now for me, hey, what now? What if this happened? I could die. Then now suddenly you start checking out. Then you turn on the news. Then suddenly there's a story of there are how many boda-boda accidents every year in Kampala, how many people lose their lives. Then you say, ah, man, now I'm in trouble. Now, and you're receiving the devil. And you're receiving the calamity of the devil. Now, when you have a boda-boda accident and something bad happens to you, people will say the devil attacked you. But he did not attack you when you had the accident. He attacked you when he started planting the feelings of fear and you received them. If you had refused and said, as soon as you feel any fear for anything bad, just repeat, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. And just repeat all any other scripture, you understand. Every time you fear that something you're doing is not going to happen, or is going, I mean, this thing is what, nothing I'm doing is working out, don't receive that. Refuse it. And state actively, proactively state something positive that is in the scriptures. I'll give you an example. Now, there is a friend of mine whom was one of the first people, when I just learned this revelation of how important it is to sow in the right place. Because I knew him and I knew he was a hard worker, and I probably even told this story somewhere. I knew he was a hard worker and everything he was doing was not working out. Nothing he was doing was working out. He was in debt, heavily indebted. Actually, he was on the run, okay? Running because they were looking for him, and you know, and he's not a thief. He's a born again person and a nice person. But you know, because he's trying and things are not working, so you get into debt, then you get into debt until your creditors start going to police, then going to court. So the guy was surrounded on every direction. I know even he was running away from his shop, and he was in fear. He had even moved away from his home. And now this is a child of God. So now when he came, but because he had hit the wall, I don't know if it's because I also know he's a teachable person. He's a very teachable person, and I bless the Lord for that. Now, so when he came to me and I just learned this thing, he came to me and told me, but man, man of God, what's happening? Why is nothing working out? Why is all this thing not working? So I told him, okay, first of all, there's this issue of sowing and what. So I told him, go. I directed him where I should. So I rarely do that, but this one, because I knew he was in trouble, I directed him where he would sow. And by the way, I did not direct him to myself, just in case you think I did. And I told him, go and put your money here. Because it was a Saturday evening. And he told me, even now I have a tithe that I was taking to my church tomorrow. I told him, now, if that is not working, then now go and do this. And I knew his church because I knew a lot about it, and I knew it wasn't good ground. So I told him, go and, I'm not saying it's wrong with tithing in your church, understand that, but I knew his church and I knew it wasn't good ground. So I directed him and he did precisely what I told him. Now, he did it the first week, the second week, okay? Now, after the second week, he came to me with one thing, okay? He said the first thing that changed, before even his financial situation changed, the first thing that changed when he sowed into good ground was that the fear of failure lifted off him. Because initially, after you've tried everything, now you're scared. Am I just going to have to go back to the village? And you know, so many things cross your mind. What am I going to do? I tried this, it's not working. Should I give up? And there's a cloud of fear of failure. Now listen to this, it's so important. There's a cloud of fear of failure around you. Now that cloud can only permit failure to come to you because it is there. Now when he gave into right ground, suddenly the fear lifted. Ooh. Now he got removed from fear to faith. Suddenly he started seeing positive things. He said, no, but this thing is working out. This can work out. Then he became confident that things were going to be okay. Things were going to work out. Now, where he once saw financial gloom, he was now beginning to see success. Now, this is all happening in an atmosphere around him, okay? But nothing has yet happened in the natural. In the natural, nothing has happened. He's still broke. He's still in debt. He's still in court over his mountain of debt. But he's now smiling because he has been invaded by another kind of environment, a heavenly light, which is giving him, you know, this excitement that, no, things are going to work out, because this is going to work out. Now, that cloud around him of excitement continued for about 1 month. Now, after about one, and in that 1 month, still nothing had changed. He was still broke, he was still in debt, he was still in court. But now something happened. They sent for him court bailiffs. After some time, the court bailiffs came to him, and instead of them arresting him and taking him, they actually told him the account number of his creditor and told him, now what you do before you go to court, make sure you go and put some money into that account and then come with the receipt to court. Now the court bailiffs, who were supposed to be against him, turned around and started working in his favor. So he went and put some little money, whatever little money he had, in the account of his creditor and went to court. Then when he went to court, he got favor. The magistrate listened to the creditor saying he had taken too long without paying. Then the magistrate asked him, how long do you need to pay that debt? He said, you give me 2 years, I will have paid it. The magistrate said, okay, I have given you 2 years, go and pay it. But of course, the creditor was very angry. He said, no, that's too long. The magistrate said, no, I've given him 2 years. They even set the interest rate to pay it. Now, suddenly, he's back at work. He's no longer on the run. He's at home. The court went in his favor. Things are changing in the natural, but it started with that cloud around him, the fear lifted. Then, after 7 months, business started actually picking up. It starts picking up, and every little thing, you get it, you celebrate it, it becomes a source of faith, it lifts you up. After 7 months, he had paid off all the debt, which he was supposed to have paid in 2 months. He paid off the debt, that was done, and now he started thriving. His business was thriving. Now, every time I see him, I comment on how much weight he has gained, because he's looking very fat and has lost shape. Anyway, but he's thanking God because he's no longer in financial gloom. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because it is not God's responsibility to change the cloud that is around you. It is your responsibility to change the cloud that is around you. What do I mean? If you wake up one day and you get this overwhelming feeling that something bad is going to happen to you, it is your responsibility to dismiss it and to receive something good, which is either in the Word of God. But this thing does not just happen negatively, okay? It's not just despondency and discouragement and fear that you receive from the negative. Now, one day, you wake up. Now, it happened to me the other day. I woke up one day and I felt an overwhelming sense of thankfulness to God and happiness. I just felt like playing music and even dancing and praising. I was in this overwhelming mood of praise. Now, it doesn't just happen. Now, when that happens, you know that there is an angel that is exuding those qualities, and that's what you're picking up on, and it is affecting your mood. So an angel from God comes and stands next to you, and suddenly you feel like praising God, you feel like celebrating, like being happy, you know, you feel yourself surrounded with joy. Now what you do, don't ever lose that moment. Don't lose that moment. Get it. Don't just feel like praising God and then you let it pass. No, because that angel actually came to create an atmosphere that is going to create a miracle for you. Now what you do, pick up on that atmosphere. So now you wake up this morning, you are doing other things. Maybe you are seated somewhere reading a book, taking a cup of coffee. Then suddenly you feel this overwhelming sense of, I have to thank God. And then you start thanking God and say, but you know, God, I'm really so grateful for this and this. And you wonder why this mood has hit you. But it's because heaven is sending a vibe in your direction. Now then you get into praise. Now don't let it go. Listen to this. Don't ever let that mood go. Praise and praise and take control of that mood and accept it because it's from God. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Listen to worship music. Worship the Lord. Thank the Lord. Repeat scriptures of things that you're believing and speak scripture to it. And basically, capture that thing. If you have to stay in it for the whole day, stay with it. Or at least stay with it for 1 hour or 2 hours. But make sure you squeeze the most out of that mood. Now, that is a precursor to a miracle. Now, when you take advantage of that mood, something big is about to happen in your life. Now, if you receive that vibe of you want to feel like praising God, then you just let it pass. So suddenly you wake up in the morning and today you're so happy, today you want to praise God, and you think it's just natural. So you let it pass and it goes. So you don't take advantage of it. Then you don't know that you actually, God was inviting you to a miracle and you did not accept the invitation. Now these are very spiritual things, spiritual principles. So now just know that every time you feel something negative, the devil is inviting you to calamity. Don't accept the invitation. Every time you feel something positive, something lovely, something praiseworthy, God is inviting you to a miracle, accept the invitation. How do you accept or deny? You deny by refusing it, by fighting it with scripture. Mention a scripture to it. You wake up feeling disappointed, you say, no, bless the Lord God who daily loads me with benefits. That's Psalm 68 verse 1. Mention scriptures, mention all these wonderful things that are in the Bible that God has promised. I am accepted among the beloved. I'm a member of the household of God in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians chapter 2. Accepted among the beloved, according to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. And mention all these wonderful things. I'm a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, called to show forth the praises of God. Say, I am going to be a praise on this earth. I am going to be a praise on this earth. And then mention all these scriptures, and eventually you will see that the demon will go away, because the demon cannot stay where the word of God is, because even when Jesus was attacked by the devil, he sent him away using the word of God. Or you actually can cast him away in the name of Jesus and say, you demon, in Jesus' name I command you to depart. Go, you demon of fear, demon of disappointment, demon of discouragement, demon of anger, of hatred, of bitterness. You wake up one day, somebody hurt you yesterday, and you had forgiven him. So somebody did something wrong to you and you forgave him. But you wake up today and suddenly you feel this, but how could this guy say this? But how could Andrew say this to me? I mean, he's my friend. How can he even say this? And what? And the devil is inviting you to bitterness, and you know what bitterness is going to lead up to. And you, if you accept it, you're in serious trouble, because it is going to give birth to that. Now, that's what I call the cloud that is around you. The cloud that is around you is either of praise, of worship, of miracle, thanksgiving, and faith. Because thanksgiving gives birth to faith, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Now, when you give thanks for what has happened, okay, I'm believing God for something big, but in the meantime, I will thank him for the small things that I so far have. Because I'm not badly off, I want to build a house, but I thank God because I paid rent this month. Now I start by thanking God. Thank you, God, I thank you so much because I've paid my rent. I am not in arrears. Everything is paid up. I thank you. You can build on anything small. Start with small and praise God for the small things. And just see how that atmosphere that you surround yourself with will make sure that you go from one miracle to another. Now, that is the secret. How come some people seem to have one success after the other, after the other, after the other, and others seem to have one calamity after the other, after the other? It is just the cloud that surrounds them. That cloud, it is your responsibility to make it either positive or negative. The choice is actually yours. You can choose to make it one thing or the other. You understand? Now, don't let your cloud ever be negative. Don't let yourself descend into bad things. I'm repeating myself in some of these things because these are very important aspects, okay, of the Christian living. It is not by mistake that somebody can come from one positive thing. This guy, every time there's a good job, you know he's going to be the one to get it. Then he gets it. Then there's a better one, then he leaves the other one, then he gets another one. Then there's a better one, then he says, I'm tired of this one, I want another one. Then he gets another one. Now for you, you just want even the one which he started with. You're saying, God, if you just gave me that one, I would be happy. But it's not being given to you. And why is that? Because this guy has surrounded himself with a cloud, which I call the atmosphere for miracles. So he's always in a positive mood. He's thanking God. He's seeing nice things. When he looks ahead in his life, he doesn't see calamity. He doesn't see something might happen to this. They might steal my piece of land. They might steal this. No, he's not seeing any of that. He knows that nobody is stealing anything that belongs to me, because everything that belongs to me belongs to God. And unless the person is more powerful than God, then can he steal him? But if what is mine is God's, then nobody can steal it. Because are you more powerful than God? No, you aren't. Thank you very much. So what is mine now. So you fill yourself with all these things. When somebody comes and puts in you, but you know the other thing, what the other guy, what if he does this? What if they steal your money? You say, no, that is not going to happen. They can't steal what belongs to me. Then something else happens. You say, no, that is not going to happen because I do not belong to that group of people. So you surround yourself continually by your faith, by your expectation, by the cloud that you feel through your emotions, through your speech. You surround yourself with a cloud of positivity and an atmosphere for miracles. Then you will see how slowly by slowly, this is what happened with this gentleman who was in court. He told me that I no longer fear. Now I am very, nothing had changed in the natural. He was still broke. But he said, now I'm not in fear. Now I'm happy. Now I'm what? And when somebody tells me that, I know that it is the beginning of a miracle, because miracles always happen that way. Now that's what God was trying to do in the children of Israel. He was trying to create an atmosphere of expectation of miracles around them so that they can go and possess the promised land. But they insisted on staying with the atmosphere of negativity. Oh, everything is bad. This is bad. The manna, we're tired of it. We've been eating it for how many years? We used to eat this in Egypt. This is, and once you get into that thing of grumbling. Now, let me tell you, I can tell you that much of the praying that is going on in the churches today is grumbling. Now, that's why you have to come to one. I will teach you how to pray in faith and get results, not pray in grumbling, where you start saying, but God, what did I, you know, God, but you know, where you, and there's a lot of praying with a lot of zeal, but zero knowledge. There are people who have 100% zeal and very little knowledge. They are praying in ignorance, and now that ignorance is costing them very dear. Now we have to teach you how to completely get into this atmosphere where, let me tell you something, as sure as the Lord has set us, you start seeing yourself moving from miracle to miracle to miracle, and your life will start changing bit by bit by bit, positively. So that if you're here today, wherever it is you started from, you might be starting from, you're staying in somebody's house, you can't even afford a muzigo of your own. That is no problem. I don't care where anybody starts. The point is, there has to be a progress. Okay? So from staying in somebody's house, you're staying in your own house, no matter how small, then to your own house, a bigger one, better one, and so on, until there has to be progress. Now, these are the things we are going to start teaching at some of these places, but we are not there to teach, actually. We are there to pray. We are going to be there in these night prayers to pray. So watch out for it. Look out for it. It is something that is going to change so many lives, and I do want as many people as are under my voice currently and often to be attending those night prayers. So, and remember this, and if you are listening to this somewhere, even say it aloud. Say, it is not God's responsibility to change my cloud. It is my responsibility to change my cloud. Say, I will not receive the negative vibes of the enemy from the demonic world. I will receive the positive vibes of heaven from God's world. Okay? I'll receive the vibes of praise. I'll receive the vibes of worship, of thanksgiving, of love, of mercies, of tender mercies, of all these things, okay? This is what I'm going to accept to come inside me. Now, when the devil comes against me with negativity, with fear, with despondency, with discouragement, with grumbling, with, all this negative speech of how everything is going wrong, even now Pastor so-and-so is also now in Illuminati, even this pastor is in Illuminati. Now, me, I don't listen to those things. I have no time for them. Me, I'm surrounding myself with positivity. Now, if for you, you want to go and start looking out for who is in Illuminati, you go. Me, I'm not going there. Me, I want a life that is a praise, where your life is a praise, is praiseworthy, where people look at you and say, man, this guy is somebody whom I want to be like. People who are not born again. And that's what preaches the gospel. The Bible says you're called forth to show forth the praises of God, not to say them, although of course you say them also, but to show them. You know, there is saying the praises of God and there is showing the praises of God. Those are two different things. When I stand here and start praising God, I am saying the praises of God. But when my life, when people look at the life I lead, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am never in debt, I have everything I need, I am causing a change in people's lives, everything I work out is successful, then that's what they call showing the praises, not just saying, showing. So you're called to show forth the praises of God. According to 1 Peter 2:9, your chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, called to show forth his praises, to show them. That's what you're called to do. But if you surround yourself with negativity, it is not going to happen. Now, that's one of the main reasons why some people suffer failure, because they have let themselves be surrounded with things that are not of God, with things that are not positive. So make sure you do, and you have to fight over this actively. Never accept that. You will always get invitations to anger, to bitterness, to, you know, this thing. Never let them get to you. Just close them out. How do you do so? By either rebuking the spirit of that spirit. It is there. It is standing right next to you. That's why you're feeling that way. You're picking up on its vibes. Rebuke it in Jesus' name, or speak the word to it and say, no, God has not given me the spirit of fear. He has given me the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Oh, how powerful that is. Now, in terms of giving and not receiving, now I'm going to tell you one major reason, by the way, why people give sometimes and do not receive. I'm going to rush over it because I have not too many minutes, but it is extremely important. It is extremely important. I wish you just knew how important this is. Now, here we go. If God said, faith works by love, okay? Now, and 1 Corinthians 13, you know, you people think you can just overcome these scriptures and just gloss over it, and you think, I'm sowing, why am I sowing and I'm not receiving? Why am I not sowing? Why am I sowing and I'm not receiving? But it says here that if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, there are people, there's a teaching in the churches which says God is going to bless you so that abalabebo, simanya abalabebo, and what, all that rubbish. Which abalabebo? Me, I told you before here, I don't have any enemies. If somebody hates me, then I am his enemy. But me, he's not my enemy. I don't have any. The only enemy I have is the devil and his demons. Those are the only enemies I have. Outside of the devil, I do not hate any. I don't have anything. When I love, because God commanded me to love. Now, if you do not walk in love, I'm telling you, you can undo all the good works you're doing. Now, let me tell you something about the spiritual realm. In the natural realm, there is the action and reaction are equal and opposite. That's the physical law. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So if you punch a wall, you're providing action in form of the energy used to punch the wall, but the blisters you're going to get on your fingers are the reaction from the wall, because the wall is not just, it might not be saying anything or moving, but it's also going to react in the opposite way. You understand? So that is a physical law in the natural, but there is something similar in the supernatural. It's a spiritual law that is similar. That shows that, and that's what Jesus was talking about in much of the Beatitudes. Now, if you read the Gospels and you read the first chapters of the Gospels, especially of Matthew, where Jesus is talking about the Beatitudes and blessed are they that do this, then he talks about so many things. Then he says that, you know, do your charitable deeds in front of men and make sure they see you, then you will get no reward. Now here is how the spiritual principle works. Every time that you do something that is of God, that is good, there is almost a marking, and I don't want to put it in a way that will make grace people become edgy, but this is biblical truth. There is something that would be like a reward system, okay? A reward system. Call it a reward system, call it a credit system. So you can give credit and you can withdraw credit. So you can either be in the positive or in the negative. So you can have a lot of credit on your system, you can have no credit. Now, when in the Bible, when the book of Acts, God says that, sends Peter to Cornelius and says his prayer and his alms have come up as a memorial before God, it means in this system, he has so much credit because of what he has been doing, that God has to do something. Now, some people don't see this as contradicting what I said, that God does not deal with you on the basis of what you do. This is even not God, by the way. This is a spiritual law. Now, there are certain things which you see in the Bible which teach you that, but you never quite saw it that way. I'll give you an example. If you look at the Shunammite woman who was in the book of Kings, the lady who built a room for Elijah. Told her husband, I perceive this is a man of God, let's build a room for him. So they built a room for Elijah, and Elisha would come there and sleep every time he passed by that place. Now that lady did so many things. Now eventually, when she ran away from that land at the word of Elisha, because there was going to be a famine, and she went out to the land of the Philistines, after 7 years she came back to receive her piece of land. So we read that story of Elisha and that widow, and just to show you one of the so many demonstrations of how this system works, okay? Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, that's 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman rose and did according to the saying of the man of God. And she went forth with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of the 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, please, all the great things which Elisha has done. Now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, and she told him, so the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now. Now listen to how, I mean, how amazing is this? Because this woman goes away at the word of Elisha. She had done so many things for the man of God. Now he tells her, go away, there's going to be famine for 7 years. So she goes. Now while she's away, people come and take up her land, and she comes to appeal to the king. But now, by some what you would call coincidence, but of course it is not coincidence, because the Bible doesn't talk about coincidence, at the time that she comes to appeal to the king has also called for Gehazi, who was the servant of Elisha, to tell him, man, tell us, what are some of the powerful things that Elisha did? I understand Elisha did powerful things, tell me some of them. So at the moment when Gehazi say, by the way, Elisha even rose the dead to life, there is this widow whose son had died and Elisha brought her to life. At that very moment, the woman walks in, and then Gehazi says, by the way, this is the woman and this is her son. Then the king asks, is this true? Then she says, it is true. Now, because of the timing, that is what they call supernatural timing. You cannot manipulate that. Because of her supernatural timing, the king appoints an officer to go and give her back her land and give her back the proceeds. Now that might have been a very difficult thing for her to get from the king, but because of the timing, because she appeared at that very moment when they were talking about her, so she got that. Now how come she appeared at that time? That is all over the Bible. You see that people, something happens, there is a build up to this, then bam, it happens, something happens, and you know that there is some system there. Now, this is a bit of what Jesus was trying to talk about when he says, you have no reward. Now, you see in those first chapters of, starting especially from chapter 5, Jesus is talking about you have no reward. You do this when you pray in private and whatever, then you have your reward. Why is this? Because your Father will reward you in open. Because when you pray and you pray, you're building up your credit system. You're accumulating points on that credit system. Excuse my language, I'm just using this up, but I'm trying to bring forward a spiritual principle. Now, when you love somebody, when you give to the poor, when you do your charity, now Jesus, remember, said you will not get any reward. He's saying if you do it in front of people to get for the purpose of show, and you want to steal the show, you have no reward. You've already got your reward. That means you've not banked anything on your credit system. In other words, your credit system is still very zero, I mean, as far as that deed is concerned. Now, if you do it in private and for the right reasons, somebody is poor, I'm helping him out, and you don't do it for the sake of people's praise, then Jesus is saying you get your reward. Then he's saying, he's talking about so many things we should do. Now he says the Pharisees who pray and what they have there, they, for the sake of show, and the fast in front of people and put ash on their heads and what for the sake of show, he says they have no reward. That means, of course, when you fast and you fast in the right way and for the right purposes, you add something on your credit system, and all these things. And so the other things in the scripture that add on your, the scripture talks about that add on your credit system. But nothing does it more than love and forgiveness. Okay? Love and forgiveness. Now, I'm telling you something. When somebody does something that is wrong, that is very wrong, and that has hurt you deeply, and you say, okay, because God said it, I'm going to forgive that person. And you forgive that person, and you actively forgive them, and you go and tell them, I have nothing against you, I have forgiven you. You have added so many credits to your reward system. You have no idea. And there is that thing. It works out in the supernatural. And you get to a point where your credit system is so rich that you have so many things have to happen in your life naturally. I had a man of God, Bishop David Oyedepo, saying God told him that he told him, my son, you can no longer be poor. Even if you wanted to be poor, you can no longer be poor. He said that even if you cast yourself right now, you can still no longer be poor. How is that? Because you have put a lot of credit in your this system that it has to keep on giving. You cannot outdo it. There is nothing that you can do that can undo the credit that you've already given because of, you know, your service, your love, your giving, and things like that. And I hope you're beginning to understand the thing. So now, all those beatitudes Jesus talked about, you know, forgive. You've heard it said that love your enemies and hate, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I'm telling you, love your enemies and pray for those who spitefully use you. For so shall you be. Now, he's telling you, then you'll get a reward. The word is used heavily over there, because what he's actually saying is that you get credit on your reward system. Now, when somebody does something wrong to you and you pray for them and say, God bless that person, and you're sincere in your heart and say, I've forgiven him, God bless him, and I actually do this thing. When I'm if I struggle to forgive somebody, the one thing I do is I pray for them to get blessed. And when you start praying in obedience, immediately it releases all the anger and you actually get into an area of total forgiveness. Now, you've also heard Jesus say that if you've brought your gift to the altar, you know these scriptures are there. If you brought your gift to the altar and you remember that you have something against someone, he says, leave your gift there. Don't first wait to give it. First go and make peace with the other person. And when you've made peace, then come and give your gift. Why is Jesus saying that? Because there is nothing that consumes your points, which have already been earned, as much as unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, hatred, that talk of Abalabiba. You don't have any enemies. If you hear a pastor telling you Abalabiba again, just tell him, shut up. I have no enemies. My only enemy is the devil. But of course, that doesn't mean that you're not somebody's enemy. You can choose to hate me if you want, and that's your prerogative. But that's going to hurt you. But for me, I cannot hate you. There's nothing you can do to make me hate you. Nothing. I promise you that. Because I'm not going to consume my points, which I've been sowing for. I am sowing seed because I want. Now, my credit system, and Jesus talked actually about keep your treasure in heaven, where it cannot be cheated. My credit system is very rich. And you come and try to annoy me. And of course, that's what the devil does. He sends somebody to aggravate you, annoy you, and then you get angry and get bitter. Then, man, you start consuming your credit. And then you were on the brink of a miracle, but you've chewed up all the credit, and now you have nothing left. That's why Jesus says, give your gift there, go and make peace with the other person. Why does he say that? Because if you give that gift to God, and you're still in unforgiveness, you are getting credit and you're losing it because of the unforgiveness. So at the end of it, you have zero. It is not going to benefit you. So it is so important to walk in love. I mean, you can consume your credit points by mistreating stepchildren, things which people do. And you wonder why it is things are not happening. You're mistreating stepchildren, mistreating children who are under your care. Remember, those children are very precious in the eyes of God. Just because your husband got them from somewhere else doesn't mean that God sees them the way you see them. As far as God is concerned, those are children for whom Jesus died. They are as precious as anything else. Now, for you, mistreat them, make them suffer, go to bed without whatever, then you come and ask me, man of God, why am I sowing and I'm not reaping? You're giving, putting credit on your system, but you're consuming it through your hatred of innocent children. That's why the Lord says that God is the protector of widows and orphans. You mistreat widows, mistreat orphans, there are certain things that you do that will get small things. Now you find an elderly man who is in all this thing, and then you choose to help him and, you know, do that. Now you don't know what you're doing. Yeah? These small things add up to something and get to a point in your life where a miracle has to happen. Now, somebody was telling me a story the other day of a gentleman who applied for it. So he came and said, I don't know what's wrong with me. No, he actually, somebody came and got a job. But the way he got it was amazing. Now, somebody had applied for the job. They went and sat for the interview. And this gentleman who got the job was number two. Somebody else was number one. So they were supposed to give the job to the person who is number one. But as what people call fate, but as fate would have it, I'm using the natural language, as fate would have it, this gentleman, a day before, they steal his phone. So he has to first look for another phone and what. Then when he's at that, in that interval before he has another phone, is when the employers call him to come and start work. But his phone is off because they stole it. So when they try the next day, and they say, this man, I don't know what happened to him. So they say, let's call number two. So they call the guy who was number two, and he starts work. So this gentleman goes to where I did the interview and said, you people, what happened? They said, no, you were the first person in the interview. You scored the highest mark, but we called you and your phone was off. So we called the second person and he started working yesterday. Oh, and man, this guy says, I don't know what's wrong now, these thieves. So you start blaming the thieves and what. But let me tell you, those things don't happen. If you knew the spiritual realm and how it works, those things don't happen by chance. The other guy had so much credit on his system that he was due a miracle. So even if it takes a phone to be stolen for you to get a miracle, you will get it. When you due it, even if whatever it takes for you to get the miracle, it will happen. Now, just know that it doesn't just stop at giving money. You have to also know that God is a God of love. How do you treat the people He sends to you? How do you treat the children of God? Okay? Do you fleece children? I mean, small things like that. Why is your My Ministry growing? Are you treating the people who are there the way God wants you to treat them? Do you know that those people are very precious in the eyes of God? Are you giving them the same treatment that if Jesus was there, He would give them? I mean, that's the whole point. So, now, you don't know that because you're doing this, you're pulling off these things and doing that. How do you... Small things. Just because somebody is your house girl doesn't mean that you're so important. Are you treating her like a human being? Because in the eyes of God, there is no difference between you. Just because you have a big job and she's your house girl doesn't mean you're all that. All of you, Jesus Christ died for you. And there is no difference as far as is concerned between you and your house girl. None whatsoever. Between you and your shamba boy. None whatsoever. So the way you treat those people accumulates in a point system which has a reward. That's why Jesus said you lose your reward. If you do this, you lose your reward. If you do it in public to get the show, you've got all the reward. There is no more other reward because you did it for the wrong motives. Now, every time you do something good for the right motive, this is my language, okay? But I'm showing you something which is all over the scripture. You accumulate, points on your system. That's why Jesus said, all these things that He says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, that is Matthew 6 and verse 5. Then he says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in heaven, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you will reward you openly. Now, why is Jesus saying? He's teaching us a spiritual principle that there is a reward system. So now, number one, love, loving people. Loving God and loving people. When you love people, you touch the heart of God, because God loves people. No matter what their station in life, no matter how beaten they are in this world, God loves people. Now, when you teach yourself to love people and do things in love, when you teach yourself to forgive, because God forgave you, okay? Now, remember the parable Jesus gave of the other man who was forgiven, and he went and cast it, whatever. He said he will be there and threw his fellow servant in prison because he wouldn't pay, and he had been forgiven. Now, he said the master called him and said, you pay me back my thing. So he said he put him in prison until he pays back the debt. Now, prison is you've eaten up your reward system. Whereas, if you had forgiven yourself, forgiven the other guy, you forgive somebody who hurts you, especially when it is clear cut that somebody has hurt you, and you say, you know what, I am forgiving this person because God says I forgive. For the sake of my God whom I love, I am forgiving. and you do it that way. I'm going to love this person, even if it is very difficult. I will love him because God commanded me to love. Man, you don't know what you are doing. And when you have such a heart and you've cultivated such a ground, okay, that's why people sow seed and they get it immediately, get back a harvest so quickly, because their reward system is already full. That, I mean, they just, a seed immediately produces a result. Something, that's how people get from miracle to miracle. I hope now you're understanding what I'm saying. So now, do not take those things lightly. Do not get into this enemy's thing. Do not say so and so is my. Don't let somebody invite you to be their enemy. Don't get there. You're a child of God. Obey the commandments of God, which are love, forgive. Okay? Love, forgive. Now, have a good heart towards people. Be nice to people. Love people. You just do those things and see. People try to think that they can become prosperous without love. The Bible says, even if you give all your goods to the poor and you have not love, it profits you nothing. Nothing. That is scripture. Nothing. So just know that you have to live a life of love, a life of God. Just know that your driver, your house, office messenger, house cleaner, what, look at them the way God looks at them. Treat them with respect. Those people can have the key to you fulfilling your destiny. Every time you mistreat somebody, that person has a key to fulfilling you. I mean, your destiny might yet lie in how you treat that small person. Okay? And remember, Jesus said, whatsoever they do to the least of my brethren, that they did unto me. So just know that, and don't think you're going to circumvent the law because somebody annoyed you. So you say, man, I can't stand that guy, I don't want, you know. Then you speak ill. Every time, now I'll summarize this. Every time you speak ill or judge somebody, remember Jesus said, judge not and you will not be judged. Remember that, judge not, you will not be judged. But he says, in the same measure that you judge, you will be judged. So if you find somebody who is who has had a calamity in their lives, maybe has been caught in a scandal, maybe a sex scandal, and you are the one who jumps up and judges them very harshly, remember, you are eating away your credit system, because that's not how God deals. Just keep quiet, and if you can encourage them, my brother, you can, you know, those things. Judge not, and then it goes on to say, judge without mercy. It says, what does it say in James? Judgment is without mercy to those who show no mercy. So every time somebody does something and you show mercy, and things which are, I mean, somebody does something, eh? Now, the other day, I'll give you an example. Let's say your mate does something stupid and maybe which costs you something. I'll give you an example. The other day, I sent my maid to go and send money on mobile money to somebody, and it was a considerable amount of money. And she went, and she just told the person, here, send the money to this number, and went. The person didn't send the money and ate the money. And when she went back, the other person said, I don't know. So somehow I lost the money in the process. Now, I cannot let that aggravate me, because judgment is without mercy to those who have no mercy. So, do you know what I did? I just got more money and told her, now go and send this one, only this time be careful and make sure you don't leave until I've confirmed with the other person that the money has arrived, and so on. Now, I could see she even looked at me in shock, because it was a considerable amount of money, but it has already happened. Now, if I start pinning her and doing what because of little money, I'm eating away my credit points, and then I will start wondering, why do I sow seed and I do not get a reward? And the answer is right there. So don't judge, don't forgive, walk in love, don't get into those enemies' things. Be a loving person. Do not speak ill of anybody. Don't speak ill of anybody. Don't criticize, don't condemn, don't speak ill of anybody. Just be a person who does what God tells you to do, and then your credit system will fill up to a point where you have to walk in a miracle. You are moving from one miracle to another, and that will be the nature of your love. I encourage you to sow towards the night prayer. Please sow towards the night prayer and sow towards the ministry. Continue with your partnership. Be consistent. Now I've taught you some of the reasons that hold people back. Listen to these things and make them a part of your life. But sow towards, continue with your partnership. I thank you so much for those who have been faithful and consistent. And the number, of course, those who want to join in and you want to become partners, the number is 07 0780-292-555. Please do that. And those who want to sow into our night prayer, use the same number. If you want to ask any questions, the contact is ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, or you can even call on the same number and possibly somebody will pick it up and help you. Don't forget, we have a partners get together this Friday, the day after tomorrow, in the evening at 6 p.m. at a place called Amazing Gardens on Bombo Road, but not far away from Bat Valley. God bless you so much. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on.